Hey everybody, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we want to talk about startup conferences.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
You know, when should you attend conferences? How do you make sure to actually turn a conference into a something that converts into business growth or whatever the goal is that you have versus just having it being a huge distraction or waste of your time? The reason why I wanted to talk about that with you, Heaton, is, I mean, we both speak at a lot of conferences. I just came back from a conference in Europe and saw a lot of like things you should do and things you shouldn't do. So I thought it might be fun to like go back and forth and enlighten some people on this.
Awesome. I actually have been to less conferences this year than I have ever been to, I guess, in the last, I don't know, like 5 or 10 years. I think this is a really interesting topic, especially in reference to like tech conferences. Mm. So I'm curious, like what your take is.
Yeah. So let's just jump right into it. So I do think that 90% of the time, so I think that the majority of conferences are probably a waste of your time. Just to come right out of the bat with like my thoughts on this. And I think that the 10% of the conferences that could be really worthwhile and could be super valuable can only be valuable if you approach them in the right way. And I think that the majority of participants at conferences aren't. So let's talk about that, kind of what conference to go versus not to go. And when you go, how to make sure that you create value during that conference versus just wasting time. So on the like what conferences to attend, I would be very selective on that. I think that there's more conferences today than ever before. I don't have any data to back that up, but that definitely feels like that to me. There's a shit ton of conferences out there, especially like tech and startup conferences, since it's such a hot topic around the world and in business. And I do think that there is a big difference. Many of these conferences, if you actually look at the people behind the conference, if you look at the how focused the theme or topic of the conference is, right? Is it super niche? Is it very, very specific in terms of what is the topic? What is the industry? What is the people that are going to gather there together? The broader the scope of the conference, the broader the audience, usually the less likely it's going to be really worth your time. So I would look at does this conference have a very strong focus on its audience, its niche? Does it understand who is their ideal customer profile or who is their audience? Bring together an audience that can actually benefit from each other. I think that would be my first kind of homework assignment to decide which one to attend or not. And that question that I would ask as a startup going to a conference is really asking myself, is the audience that are going to go there, are they likely to be my users or customers? And if the answer is no, I would typically say don't go, right? If you can't turn, if this is not going to be a place where you're going to be surrounded and enveloped by people that could be your customers buying your product, using your product, more likely than not, it's going to be a waste of time. That would be my number one criteria. Now, there's a few that are like nice to haves, right? Hey, are there companies there that I can learn from or people that I want to have relationships with because they are a year or two ahead of me, and I kind of just learn from their mistakes, learn from their experiences? That's a nice to have. Could there be some kind of a, you know, change maker, either investor or thought leader or person that's very prominent to, again, to my audience, to my customers, to the people that I want to reach? And could I get a chance to build a relationship with that person? That's a nice to have. But the most important one would be, are there potential customers at that conference? And are there many of them? That will be my number one reason to go. Reasons not to go would include the hope that you're going to raise a financing round because you're attending a conference. Oh, lots of investors are going to be at this conference. So if we go there, we might get our funding round. Not that that has never happened, but it's usually not a good reason to go. Many really great investors are not going to tons of conferences. And when they go, they really just go on stage and they leave like 20 minutes afterwards. So they're not hanging around meeting lots of people. Again, there's exceptions to this, but that's the general rule. Getting press or publicity, those are usually not really good reasons. And the worst reason to go is just to say, oh, there's a lot of interesting topics that are going to be discussed on stage. And I just want to go there to learn. Today, the web is full of information and data. Most likely, all the content that's going to be discussed on stage is going to be published on blogs and videos or even going to be live streamed. So if you're just interested in the content and not in the connections, not in the networking, not in the people physically that are there, you could just do that from home and pick and choose the stuff that you want versus wasting days and days of time just to sit there silently in the audience and listening to content on stage. That would be my kind of rough model on even what conferences to pick to go in before going into strategies, what to do once you're there.
Yeah, conferences. there's a lot of them.
Yes.
I think there's just a lot of them. And there's even speaker circuits, right? Of very much the same speakers going to them.
Yep.
Hopefully not saying the same things, but sometimes saying the same things too. I'm going to start by saying I used to be a part owner in a conference company.
Oh, shit.
So I also know it from the inside. It's a terrible business. This is why even companies are doing conferences. Like, literally, it's funny you were talking about conferences. I'm going to a conference next week and I'm the moderator on a panel. It's in Boston. It's called Hypergrowth. And my favorite conferences, Skelly, are the ones that are like year one, year two, year three conferences. Because after that, they get bigger and they turn into usually there's exceptions to this. Like I think Business of Software, which I've never been to, but I've heard is an exception to my rule that I'm just going to say. But at some point, the conference just turns into either some kind of formulaic thing, a money-making machine to some extent, because they add workshops or they add, and I've run those too. Like I've done workshops at conferences. So this is not to say like any of this is like terrible or anything. It's just like, the value changes over time. So for me, in the early stages of a conference, like I'm really excited to go to this one. My friends at Price Intelligently have a conference too. They're in Boston as well. It's like Boston Day or something for me, I guess. But like they have one. I'm going to go to that one later this year, but it's like their second conference. I went to MicroConf, which is another conference that's pretty popular now, for the first like 5 or 6 years. And then this year I didn't go. My first year I didn't go. Maybe even longer than 5 or 6. I don't remember anymore. And it's not that anything's wrong. It's just they split it up into two tracks. They have an early stage one and a growth one. And, it just turns into something else over time as the organizers want to make more money, and the brand has grown. And so taking that lens, which, I think many people are probably not thinking about these conferences. It's like, in the beginning, I think the curation of the content in the conferences is a lot better. And you can actually learn by listening to the presenters a lot more than as conferences start like getting older and older.
I love that. That's actually, and unfortunately true. I've just been scanning through my mind all the conferences that I've been to repeatedly, and I can't think of a single example where they've gotten better over time. I think the outliers are those that stay somewhat close to the original years, but I don't know a single one that's getting better. It's either getting a little worse, which is pretty good as they grow, or getting a lot worse over time. And it's usually because of the pressures of they want to make more money, so they want to grow in attendance. If you grow in attendance, you'll make the topics more broader. You want to make more money with like sponsorships and stuff like that. So to do that, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to tell everybody a secret that might not be obvious to them. Huh. Majority of conferences make the most money on the sponsorships.
Yeah.
The not attendees on the are just great.
Yeah.
No, not on the ticket sales. Yeah. And people don't realize that.
Yeah.
And so if you just think about it, as a conference grows, they want to charge more and more to sponsors. And this is conferences that are not run by a company, meaning like a Salesforce's conference or something like that, even though they make money on sponsors. But we're just talking about like conferences that are not like oriented to a company that a company's throwing. And in those cases, the conferences are all designed around making the sponsors happy. Right. So the attendees, over time fall to the wayside. I will say that MicroConf is definitely one that didn't do that.
Yep.
And it feels a lot more like the content is high quality and all that. Although I agree with you, I don't think it's getting better every year necessarily.
Yeah.
It's probably stayed pretty good since the beginning, but now they split it up and that really threw me off, to be honest, not because of anything wrong. It's just like I realized that they're growing and it might not be a place for me anymore. So it's interesting that, you want to talk about this, but I think the value in the conference conferences. I'm curious what you say about this, because I don't really have much of an opinion on this one. But like, what about like the idea that these conferences, like you should be going for networking? How do you view that, Steli?
I think that's really the one thing that you can turn a conference into something incredibly valuable. But the reality is that 99% of people that go to a conference are either not doing that at all or doing a really poor job of that. And here's why. Networking is hard. Networking is very uncomfortable. It's a weird thing. Like, you're in a room full of strangers and now your job is to kind of converse with as many of them as possible. Ideally, so here's what most people do. Most people go to a conference. They don't go alone. They go with one or two people they know or from their team or their friends. Then they attend a bunch of sessions. They spend the majority of time with the people they know, or they get really excited when they see somebody at the conference they already had met before, and they go and talk with the people and hang out with the people they already know. They sit in a few sessions, listen, get inspired, get informed, getting bored, whatever they do. They grab some drinks. They might do some sightseeing. They might go to an after party to get drunk, again, with the people they know. And they go back home and they've met zero people, or they've met a few people randomly that were not really that useful. That's what most people do. And this is the craziest thing. You go to a conference and you're in a corner with the three people you already know, you knew before coming to this event. Like, it's the biggest waste of time and energy possible. I'm not a huge networking fan. This might surprise some people, but I also don't enjoy being in a room full of strangers and just randomly walking up to all of them to just hopefully meet somebody interesting. But I do believe that a powerful thing in a conference is that you bring a big group of people together physically in space so you can make personal connections with people and get to know them and let them get to know you. So the people that get the most out of a conference most of the time are the people that really think of a conference as a big opportunity to make new friends. And they're a little deliberate about it. So they look through the attendee lists, or they look through the list of speakers and companies sponsoring and attending. They tweet before the conference happening to try to establish who is going. And then they make a list of who are the people that I want to meet? Who are the people that I want to get to know better? Who are the people that I want to get feedback from about my idea or my business or my MVP? Who are the people that might know a solution to my problem that I can approach personally? And then they are very deliberate in trying to set up meetings and to connect with a list of people that is going to be physically at a place in a given time. And they don't just randomly walk up to everybody that's there, but they are trying to be deliberate and thoughtful on, like, I'm going to meet these X amount of people. And ideally, and this is what I said earlier, ideally, you're going to a conference where a lot of the people that are going to be there could be your customers, could be people that would buy your product, use your product, so that you can get as much in-person feedback and interaction as possible in the shortest period of time in a way that's hard to replicate on your own. You can always create like customer meetups. You can always do customer visits. And we've talked about the importance of that. But having a big conference full of potential customers can be a really good opportunity to close deals, make business happen, or connect with people in a way that will be difficult to replicate, not impossible, but difficult to replicate purely by calling them, cold calling them, or sending them an email or a tweet. Although I think a lot of that you could do beyond a conference. So yeah, it's so rare that I see somebody really hustling at a conference, really being purposeful, meeting with you, starting a relationship, investing in them. And then I'll add this to the networking piece. It's useless. All the work, all the energy, all the time that you're going to put into a conference is almost useless if you don't have a really strong follow-up game and follow-up plan in place, right? So you know how many people meet me at a conference? They want to start a relationship. They ask me all kinds of questions. And I tell them, hey, here's my basic answers to this. Yes, I'm always happy to help you. They want, whatever, me to become a mentor, an advisor, or something like that. And I always tell them the same thing. Hey, just stay in touch. Let me know how things go. Make me part of the journey. And over time, we'll see where this goes. And then I never hear from them again. Or I get an email from them right after the conference, which is exciting. But that's the last time I hear from them, right? Until I see them again 2-3 years down the line somewhere else. So a conference is the starting point of a relationship if you go there to network. It's not the end of it. And you have to break through the noise and realize that people will meet with lots of people at a conference. It's a fairly noisy place. And they will get a lot of follow-up emails right after it. But if you want to win that race, that relationship race or networking race, the way to do that is to stay in touch and be consistent and persistent and keep getting in touch with me every month once, letting me know how things go, letting me know what kind of help you need. And 2, 3, 4, 6 months down the line, now we have a relationship. Now I care about you. Now I know what your journey has looked like. And that initial meeting in person can grow into something more meaningful versus just that, like, you know, that what that business networking one-night stand thing that's happening in conferences where we meet and you spend all this time to meet me at that conference and we laugh and we get along and there's a personal connection and then I never hear from you again or I hear from you once and never again.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you crushed that feedback and answered my question. What could I say? You're the expert, really. How many have you gone to this year?
How many conferences? It's a good question. I don't know. If I had to guess, I would guess probably like 5 to 10.
Nice.
Yeah.
Something solid. Probably been to like 3. It'll be a 5 by the end of the year.
Yeah. I've been to definitely to more conferences than you, but I don't go consistently every month. I usually like it's a cluster of things that happen and I'll be at like 3 conferences in 2 weeks or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, I'm still going to lots more than you. And this is what I realized. And here's a recent example, maybe to wrap the episode up. There's been a listener of our podcast. I'm not going to name the name of the company, but he's been like tweeting our podcast pretty consistently, but he's been always tweeting from like his company's branded account. So I never knew the person behind it, right? And I knew that this person is just listening to our podcast or I knew that this person is tweeting about our podcast. I really didn't know if this person is listening. And then he pinged me and said, hey, you know, again, I love all of you for offering me rides from the airport to the hotel. This is a consistent theme that's been going on forever. And so he emailed me and said, hey, do you still need a ride from Dublin airport to your hotel? Because I was in Dublin a few days ago. And I told him, hey, somebody already has offered me to drive me to the hotel, but I don't have a ride back to the airport. So he offered that and I agreed to it. And honestly, the morning off, I was like, why did I agree to it? I'd rather have a silent taxi ride to the airport right now than having to give advice to somebody for 20 minutes. But I was pretty spent and exhausted from the conference. But then, you know, I go down and I meet this person. And within like 3 minutes of driving together, I had this realization of thinking, I'm actually really glad I said yes. Because getting to know him, he's just a super sweet person. And getting to like spend 20 minutes with him in the car and he had like all these questions written on his hand so he doesn't forget the question he wanted to ask me. And he was just like a super genuine, honest, cool, sweet person that's working so hard to make his dream come true and has been listening to a podcast. He was telling me that he's been listening from the get-go, but he's like listening in spurts where he'll listen to like 20 episodes in a week and then he'll take a break. Wow. He'll take a break for a month or two and he'll come back and listen again to it in like spurts. And it was saying how funny like some of the episodes about like hiring and recruiting and all that were totally irrelevant because he was a one-man band. And now that he hired a few people, he went back and all of this was super relevant to him in his life. And man, so I gave some advice. We talked, we connected, but I can't tell you the difference. Like I was always seeing like his company's logo tweeting things about our podcast and it meant nothing to me. I didn't know if this was automated. I didn't know anything about it. I had very little emotional connection with that person, although I've been seeing this logo for a year now. But riding with him for 20 minutes, at the end, I was like, I wanted to hug him, right? I was like, you're an awesome human being. I like you and I want to help you. I want to see you succeed. And I care now about you, right? So now when I see this morning, I saw his logo tweeting something. I was like, wow, I feel totally different about this now, right? Because I've met him now and I've spent some time with him. And I think that is the difference that in-person connections can make if they are done right. Right. If they are done smartly, he offered value. He had a chance to spend 20 minutes with me in person. He was also the type of person I like. Right. So there's something to that. Some people I don't connect with and others I connect more with. But if he keeps in touch with me now, if he asks me for favors, I'm much more willing to go, you know, to go and help him and go out of my way to offer him help because I personally really like him and I feel like I know him and I feel like this is the type of person I really want to see succeed versus if he had emailed me a few questions and then just kept in touch with like me seeing his tweets through his company account, I had no connection to that. I didn't really care about that. I didn't know who that the story was behind that. So I think that that's somebody who used a conference to his advantage. He didn't even pay the money to go to the conference to meet me, right? He just was smart about knowing that I was there physically available and he offered something of value. And he spent that time building a relationship with me. And now I think, and maybe it's going to be useless long-term. Maybe I cannot help. But if I can, I'm gonna do more than I would do for a usual person. It's because I'm personally invested now emotionally in him.
I like that. That's smart. So do things around conferences when you know people are going to be in town.
Yeah, help them with the problems they have. Usually getting to the hotel, to the airport, coordinating things around the conference are the things that are complex for somebody who's new in town, but is only going to be in town for a few hours. So offering kind of, hey, instead of calling an Uber to the founder's dinner, to some party or to the airport, I'm going to drive you and we can use that 10 minutes to get to know each other. I think that that can be incredibly valuable, but there's probably other ideas around that. But just making a personal connection, I think, can be really powerful, but you have to make sure that you do that. And 90% of people that go to conferences, they don't really make personal connections. And when they do, they make them randomly with some person that may or may not have anything to offer or they can't help or is not relevant at all to what they're trying to do. And that's really incredibly wasteful. So please don't do that. And I think with that, we'll wrap this episode up. And we'll hear you very, very soon.
Later. Happy conferencing.
Bye-bye.